Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Congressman, thank you so much. It's been a dream to finally get you on under circumstances that are much in the news. Where do you represent? Where's your district?
So I have the panhandle in North Texas. I have 41 counties at the top of Texas, the entire panhandle, about three counties deep, extending above the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So most of the northwest part of Texas is mine.
Well, I don't think I remember a White House physician in charge in residence that would have President Obama and President Trump. You know, it's not like they said, well, this guy's a Democrat or Republican. We need him to treat the president. So that is a remarkable thing. And of course, President Trump turns to you. So give us a sense. Is Trump, you saw the shooting. You knew Trump would be calling you to go and examine the ear. How did it go on?
Yeah, you know, and I took care of President Bush, too. I was at the White House for 14 years, so I was a White House physician for three administrations. Obviously, I got pretty close to President Trump when I was with him the last 3 years. He's hands down, I think, the best president we've ever had, and I just have a great relationship with him. And so when I saw it happen on TV, I was actually here in Texas, and he was there in Pennsylvania, and it was an overwhelming sense of helplessness. I mean, I've never felt anything like that before because, you know, I've trained to be there when that happens. And, you know, it happened to him. And, you know, like I said, he's not just somebody I protected. He's a close friend. And I felt helpless. But I got on a plane. I got there as fast as I possibly could. I got there that night, married up with him, and then was with him throughout the next day, Sunday. Flew to the convention in Milwaukee with him on Sunday. And then just basically stayed by his side for like the next 8 or 9 days, periodically checking on his wound and just basically kind of falling into my old role a little bit where I was back in the bubble, just moving around with the team, going wherever he went, you know, and just being close by. It was good. I mean, I enjoyed, that part of it. But obviously I was terrified like most Americans when I saw what happened. I'm just thankful that, you know, thank God he's okay. He came as close as you can possibly get to dying from an assassination attempt without doing it. So, yeah, but he's doing great. I mean, the wound, is healing well. Initially, it took a piece off the top of his ear, as everyone saw, and it was bleeding like crazy because the, you know, highly vascular nature of the ear bleeds like that. Took a hunk out of the top of his ear and really missed entering his head by about 1.5 to 2 centimeters, probably less than that even, probably closer to 1 centimeter. If it had been just a little bit closer to his head, 1 centimeter closer to his head, it would have entered his head, and that would have been game over. I mean, it would have been unsurvivable.
And, Doctor, let me ask, too, the attempts now to diminish this. Christopher Wray, the Secret Service, you probably saw it or immediately they told you, since you are treating the president, well, it might have been shrapnel. We don't know if it's a bullet. My God, anything to try to drive this down, this legendary photo, Facebook essentially banning.
Well, you know, they're terrified, you know, and I wrote a letter right after that. As soon as Christopher Wray said that, I wrote a letter basically outlining the president's injury again and talking about that, and to some extent scolding the FBI director as completely inappropriate in saying something like that. I've said before, you know, I really think that the establishment is terrified of what's going on right now with President Trump, realizing that they are going to get beat badly. And this kind of put the icing on the cake, you know. And when I say the establishment, I put the FBI director in that group as well. But I think they looked at this and they realized that the president got shot in the head. Somebody tried to kill him. And instead of, you know, keeping low and scurrying off the stage, he stood up with blood all over his head and raised his fist in defiance and angrily yelled, fight, fight, fight. And when people saw that all over the world, and certainly all over this country, there were lots and lots of people who were not planning on voting for President Trump. And they saw that warrior spirit rise to the surface, and they saw that leadership and that defiance, and they were converted. Those people are out actively talking about they're going to vote for President Trump. He's an American icon now, and the left is going crazy. They don't know what to do about it. And so they're trying everything they can, including they get, you know, Joy Reid and this Oberman idiot and these, you know, assassination deniers that are on MSNBC and CNN talking about it, saying maybe he didn't really get shot. I mean, we watched it on TV. The whole world saw it in real time.
Well, that's why you're so important. You're a Texas guy, panhandle. You know a gunshot. You're a doctor across three administrations. And you're treating the president. Yeah.
And I was a combat physician with the United States Marine Corps in Iraq on the battlefield for almost a year, and I saw gunshot wounds every day. I know what a gunshot. You know, the FBI director knew that too. He was trying to, you know, trying to appease the left and the establishment. He had to come back right after I wrote the letter. I wrote the letter and sent it out, and President pushed it out. Everybody pushed it out. It just got a lot, incredible traction. He came back and basically said, "Look, I didn't mean to imply it wasn't a gunshot wound. It was absolutely a gunshot wound, right?" And so, you know, it's horrible that we have people that are in roles like that that are making decisions based on politics, not on, you know, on their apolitical job and what the mission of their apolitical job is.
And you know what? Somebody who treated presidents, Republican, Democrat, Republican, certainly has more ability to say that they trusted you with their very health. Now, it's just you and me for a second here. You don't have to reveal anything too much. Ever tell Trump, hey, you got to eat more vegetables, or how about jogging a little bit? You ever consider doing that?
We talked about it, of course. Yeah, we talked about it. You know, but you know, hey, he's Trump. That's he is who he is, and you know, you gotta love him every bit of it. So yeah, you know. So,
well, he's lucky he's as a patient.
Whatever he's doing is working.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, cheeseburgers, I can't imagine. But now, when you watch Congressman Ronny Jackson with us, the Secret Service testimony, we saw it with the Senate today and in the House. But today, the Senate, I think, really ratcheted up around this whole thing. Again, it's like there's a diminishing going on here of exactly what happened. When you watch that, given your knowledge, given your connection to the president, what are you hearing? What are you seeing that happened here?
Well, I was on a plane coming back from D.C. this morning, so I missed the large part of the hearing. I've just caught a little bit of it here at the end, and I think it was a step in the right direction from what we saw with this previous director who had to resign in shame. She was just horrible, and we have the acting director right now, a guy named Ron Rowe, who actually I served with for many years while I was with the Secret Service at the White House. I think he's being more forthcoming, but we still need more, right? He's going to have to let the House members of this new committee that Speaker Johnson has put together and the senators that are also trying to dig into this, he's going to have to give them access to everybody in the Secret Service that was there, all of the uniform division guys, all of the agents on the ground, the post standers, the site agents, the people that were on the president's detail themselves. They have to have all this to put the picture together. I think that he will do this, because if he doesn't, it's going to be very bad for the Secret Service. I think that he's embarrassed by what happened. He can't explain it. It's not explainable. They dropped the ball in horrific fashion. And I think that if the Secret Service wants to regain their reputation, and I will say that I love the Secret Service. I worked closely side by side with the Secret Service for 14 years. Some of the best professionals I've ever been around in my professional career. But look, some serious things happened that day that were big failures that led to the president almost losing his life. And I think that they will be happy at this point, not happy, but they will be willing to showcase the shortfalls and the failures in an effort to get the reputation and the trust of the Secret Service back. That's what I hope happens.
Absolutely. Well, look, I don't think I've ever run into anybody who has quite the career that you have. It is an amazing thing to be treating three different presidents. What would you say with President Obama? Was that the only thing we saw with him was smoking, maybe, was an issue. But otherwise, everything about him said physical fitness. Same thing with Bush.
Well, you know, they're all three fit. I mean, I was blessed to work for three presidents that didn't really have any medical issues, to speak of. And the thing is, they just had different personalities. But I was in an apolitical job. I was on active duty at the White House. I was a Navy Rear Admiral, emergency medicine physician assigned to the White House in my Navy role. So I was in the same similar situation as the Secret Service agents that are protecting the president, or the Air Force One pilot that flies the president around, or the helicopter, mm-hmm. or whatever. Same kind of role. So I didn't get paid to have a political opinion while I was there. I got paid to do my job, and I kept my mouth shut and I did my job. But once I got out, my politics were pretty abundantly evident to everyone. And, I represent the number one most conservative district in the entire United States right now. And I am a MAGA all the way. I could not be closer to anyone's politics than President Trump.
Looking afar, and look, it's a complicated role. You don't want to be political, and everything you could do maybe as a doctor could be read that way. But when you look at President Biden, the people around him, given your role, given an insight, given your politics now too, it is shocking that it's got to be a lot of pressure on doctors and others. But to compromise this, and apparently maybe he had some kind of medical event in Las Vegas, that seemed to be the trigger here at the end.
Yeah, something's really wrong with him. We've known this for a long time. I could see it as early as 2019 when he was running for office, and I was saying it back then when he was candidate Joe Biden. I was saying this guy's not fit to be the commander-in-chief and the head of state. I got criticized, like, you know, aggressively and regularly, routinely by the far left and by the liberal media, but I just continued to say it. I felt like I had a unique background to be able to say something like that, and I did. And, you know, I said all along, it will eventually be the Democrats that deal with this because it will get so bad. You know, Joe Biden is not a fine wine. He will not get better with time. He will get worse, and he did. And I said the Democrats will eventually be forced to deal with it themselves, and that's what happened. And I don't know what he's got, and they say he doesn't have Parkinson's disease. He's got something very similar to Parkinson's disease. It could be worse. It could be not as bad, but there's a lot of variants out there that aren't technically Parkinson's disease that are horrible diseases that have cognitive issues along with these movement disorders. And we can see every day that's what he has. He has something seriously wrong with him. He's not fit to be our commander-in-chief even now. They pulled him from running, but, you know, the reality is that he has to be there until January 20 of next year. God help us if something bad happens in this country, because this man has not been leading our country for 3.5 years, and he's not going to be leading it now. You know, and even worse is, in my opinion, to some extent, I don't know if you can say worse, but just as bad is Kamala Harris. I mean, she has been a massive, massive part of this problem since day one. And, you know, to think that if we pull him, that we have to rely on her is a terrifying thought.
Oh, it is. It is. I mean, at least Biden, I don't know about you, but I think was placating the left in at least the beginning of his term. He wasn't quite that far. She's the real deal. She's at the farthest extent of progressive. She's right there.
Yeah, and she knows what she's doing, right? I mean, you can question whether or not he even actually knew what was happening half the time and how much he was actually being read into, how much was his actual policy and what he believed versus what they were just putting out and not even telling him about, because I think there was a lot of that going on. She legitimately believes this garbage. She is as far to the left as you can get. She's a dangerous, dangerous radical progressive, and she owns it all. And there's just countless tape of her saying just things that make the American people just lose their, you know, I mean, it would just make us crazy. And that's going to be out there. But she's the real deal when it comes to the far left.
Absolutely. Dr. Ronnie Johnson, Congressman, thank you. I do hope you'll come back. I mean, we're thrilled to have you here to talk in this manner, and so easy to give us an insight that you get nowhere else. So please, we'd love to have you back.
Absolutely. And if anybody wants to follow me, just go to ronniejacksontx.com, and you can find all of my social there.
Most conservative district in the country. We're going to have to find somebody that's a rival there. I can imagine probably pretty hard.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.